Hello, this is Zorro Daddy. One of the greatest discoveries we make in life is who we are and where we belong. This story is titled The Capture of Innocence, and it is taken from the book entitled The Aria Series, Book 1. Follow Aria, a little dream elf girl, as she begins to journey and to discover why she was meant to be everything that she could be. I hope you enjoy listening to her story. And if you're listening to it as a bedtime story, I hope you dream big about being little. Every word you will hear is a piece of my heart, mind, and soul. The Capture of Innocence by Zorro Daddy. Aria stared out the window of her classroom. It may have seemed strange to have a schoolhouse in a treetop, but in the land of dream elves, everything had a reason. Just like every dream had a purpose in being dreamt. Aria was a dream elf, and like all of her kind, was created by the imagination of the mind of one single human being. She was born of that person's thoughts and ushered into a land of imagination known as the countryside, and it was her mission to discover who the human being was that she would be connected to for life. Each elf had a personality that was the opposite of the human they were connected to. Aria looked around the classroom at her classmates. There were Gooch and Noodle, two goofball twin boys who were mischievous and couldn't be serious about anything. There was Poppy, who had a nervous twitch and kept stuttering when he spoke. There was Avery, the snootiest little elf girl imaginable. Ella, Chloe, Nyssa, and Aiden, the rest of her class, all seemed rather normal and balanced. And then there was herself, Aria, the shy little elf girl who was born with red braided hair. Aria kept wondering which human she was supposed to be connected to. None of the elves knew who their human counterparts were, and upon birth as an elf, attended school in the treetop schoolhouse to learn how to discover who they were connected to in the human world. She looked back from the window to the teacher of her class, a slightly older elf named Mr. Woody. He was a kind soul and the only elf in the countryside who spoke with an accent. It was he who founded the community of dream elves and had given every elf a name, having realized the importance of having a name, an understanding given to him by his human counterpart. Aria remembered the day of her birth vividly. It was only a few months ago. She was nestled inside a flower by the edge of the lake in the middle of the countryside, curled up in a ball. She remembered the very moment Mr. Woody peeled back the petals and allowed the moonlight to beam upon her. It was that moonlight which contained the dream of a human, and when the beams touched Aria, she was connected to that human for life. Some elves had discovered their human connections quickly, but Aria didn't have a clue who her human was. Mr. Woody's voice drew her thoughts back to where she was, in the middle of the class. Mr. Woody stood at the front board, trying to review the lesson of the day with a class of young elves who were, well, getting rather restless. Suddenly, a fig came flying from the back of the room and splattered on the front board. The guilty shooter quickly tossed the bulrush reed he used onto the daydreaming lap of Aria.
"Well, I can see that you elves are done listening for today," Mr. Woody said, setting the pointer down on the front desk. "But let me review with you one more time what we learned today. As dream elves, it is our duty to enter the dreams of the humans whose conscience has dreamt us up. We do not answer their questions. We simply help them to figure out the answers for themselves. Ella,
raised her hand. "Yes, Ella," Mr. Woody called out to her, sitting at his desk and propping his feet up on it. "So, how do we know who our human connection is? If we've tried to figure it out and we can't, then what good are we?" Ella asked. "It came easily for a lot of us, but poor Aria over there can't figure out who her human is. What if her human is calling her right now?"
"Aria, darling, are you still having trouble discovering your connection?" Mr. Woody asked kindly.
"Yes," Aria answered with a trembling little voice as she shifted uncomfortably on her mushroom chair.
"It's okay, love. We'll help you find your human," Mr. Woody said, walking up next to her.
Aria lowered her head as the other elves in her class snickered. Mr. Woody turned to them and gave them an evil glare. They quickly quieted down.
"Class dismissed," Mr. Woody said to them as they got up and collected their books and belongings. "And, Gooch."
"Yes. If I ever catch you shooting another fig in my class again, you'll regret it. Now off you go."
Mr. Woody took the bulrush reed from Aria's lap and snapped it in half.
"Hold on a moment, Aria," Mr. Woody said to her as she gathered her belongings. "I believe I can help you get your connection figured out."
"How?" Aria asked.
"With a little help," Mr. Woody said as he pointed to the boy elf who was fishing his way towards them through the exiting students. "Aria, I'd like you to meet Neff."
"Oh, we've already met," Neff said to Mr. Woody.
"Hiya, Aria."
"Yes, that's true, but she doesn't know your full name," Mr. Woody said to Neff, whose eyes grew big and wide.
"And I think Aria needs to know your full name and how you discovered your human connection."
"Are you sure?" Neff asked.
"Yes, tell her," Mr. Woody answered.
Neff took in a deep breath and exhaled it before speaking.
"My name of Neff is actually short for nephew," Neff said to Aria.
"I am the nephew of,
Mr. Woody interrupted while gently guiding Aria and Neff to the door, "of something you can talk about as you go down there into town and enjoy the Festival of Dreams."
They made their way out onto the balcony at the top of the staircase. Being at the top of a tree, the view was beautiful, overlooking the entire countryside. Below, they could see the hustle and bustle of a crowd of elves who had begun to gather for the Festival of Dreams. There was music playing, elves dancing, and every possible type of food was plentiful and available.
"I know together the two of you will discover all the questions you may have," Mr. Woody said. "For now, I'm getting stuffed with those berry pies they keep baking down there all day."
Mr. Woody made his way down the staircase with a hustle, being as he was an elf who loved a festival filled with fun and food. Now, Neff was an elf who stood at least 2 feet taller than Aria. He was known as the elf who was waiting for his human connection to call him. He discovered who it was early on and had been waiting ever since. Neff was also the heartthrob of every girl elf. Aria, being shy, never once spoke to him. He was always surrounded by the most flirtatious girl elves who wouldn't ever leave him alone.
"So, Aria stuttered, clearing her throat with embarrassment. your name is Nephew, huh?"
"Yes," Neff replied.
"And I am Mr. Woody's nephew."
"You're Mr. Woody's nephew?" Aria asked.
"But how can dream elves be related? We are connected to humans, not to each other."
"Yes, that's true," Neff answered. "But Mr. Woody's human connection and mine are related. So we are related, too."
"Oh, I'm so confused," Aria said, lowering her chin and wrapping her arms around her school books.
"Yeah," Neff said while taking the books from her and tossing them back into the classroom. "Let's go. We've got a lot to discuss tonight."
Neff took her by the hand, and down the staircase they went to the base of the tree and right into the middle of the dancing and singing festival crowd.
"Are you hungry?"
Neff shouted to Arya, trying to speak louder than the noise around him.
"A little, yeah,"
Arya replied just as loud.
"Okay, point me in the direction of the food,"
Neff yelled back as he hoisted Arya up to a sitting position on his shoulders. She could see everything now, and with a series of hand signals was able to point him in the direction of the food area. He walked her over, and she gathered up two plates of the finest nuts and berries the countryside had to offer. Walking over to a nearby tree, Neff lifted her up to the first branch. She sat down on it and held tightly to the plates of food as Neff climbed up to her and had a seat as well. They could see all the action of the festival, while being far enough away from the noise to be able to finally talk.
So, who is your human connection, Neff? Arya asked sweetly, eating a sweet berry, her absolute favorite berry in the countryside woods.
My human connection is with a girl who hasn't been born yet, Neff replied. She'll be born very soon, but has already had the connection dream that we as dream elves wait for.
Does this mean anything special that she had her dream about you before she was born?
Arya asked, kicking her dangling legs back and forth.
Well, Mr. Woody believes it means that my human connection will live a life of high emotion and love, Neff said.
I'm going to have a lot to learn about her specific emotions quickly, I would imagine.
Some of the others in the class say they heard that elves can't feel human emotions and don't need to,
Arya stated. Well, that's because most elves never try to feel human emotions, Neff replied. Now, as far as the belief of not needing to, as far as that belief goes, it's a question of how much you want to help your human.
So, how do you learn an emotion? Arya asked.
By living it and by breathing it. For instance, Neff answered, while laying Arya across his lap and in his arms. Touch. We are affected by touch. Neff picked up a sweet berry and placed it in her mouth. You are an elf girl who feels shy. That's brought about by emotion. Most elves don't take time to learn human emotions, and are only as helpful as, well, what they have been taught. That's why Mr. Woody built this place and developed that school to teach young elves to take a personal interest in the destiny of their human connections. Because that destiny will also be theirs. He looked down at her and smiled. I can tell a lot about your human connection already, based on your personality. You are the opposite of him in every way, Neff said, eating a sweet berry himself.
Him?
Arya asked.
Yeah.
You're a girl elf, so your human connection is male, Neff said, stroking the strands of her light red hair. Your human connection will be someone who is the complete opposite of you in every way.
Oh, well, I'm shy and scared and confused and insecure, Arya admitted. How will I ever be able to help a human?
Because you take the time to listen, not just with your ears, but also with your soul, Neff replied, placing his hand on her heart. And that will help you to reason with logic and with emotions. Your guidance will give your human connection the understanding he must use, to help guide himself.
All right, you two, Mr. Woody said, climbing up the tree to them. Berries and tree branches are best suited for birds, not lovebirds.
Arya blushed at the comment, and Neff smiled, as this was nothing he had heard before.
Are we ready to go, then?
Mr. Woody asked.
I think so. She's ready, Neff replied.
Ready? For what?
To go where? Arya asked, sitting up. Mr. Woody is going to take you to meet his human connection. This is a very special honor. You will be the only elf who has seen her other than himself, Neff said, kissing Arya on the forehead. And I'll be waiting right here when you get back. Okay? Arya nodded and gave Neff a hug, and then she took hold of Mr. Woody's hand.
"Hold on tight," Mr. Woody said
in a jocular fashion as he looked to the stars, whisking himself and Arya straight up through the trees and away. They floated up high above the countryside, over and onto a window ledge of a nearby house. Arya looked through the window but couldn't see much for how dimly lit the room was inside. "Shh," Mr. Woody cautioned as he cracked the bay window open. "This is an unscheduled visit. Be quiet." They entered the room, and Mr. Woody shut the window as silently as he opened it. Arya turned around, and her eyes widened. It was a nursery, detailed with a dreamlike night theme. The room was dimly illuminated by a lone nightlight with a plastic cover in front of it, but from the light Arya could see. There was a toy chest in the nearest corner of the room, pale in color with a picture of a sleepy moon on the front wearing a nightcap. There were toys strewn in front of it, from Rainbow Bright to Cabbage Patch Dolls to Care Bears. Next to this toy chest was a bookshelf loaded with books. Mr. Woody took Arya's hand, and they hopped down onto the rocking chair in front of the window, and then onto the floor. She walked into the center of the rug and kept looking around. The walls were filled with butterfly stickers in every color imaginable. She spun around in circles, taking in all that she could see. Across the room was a closet filled with some of the most adorable clothing Arya could imagine. She didn't know what it meant yet, just that it all looked so cute. Sitting next to the bookshelf was an enormous basket of crayons. And above the bookshelf on the wall was a painting of a baby girl lying on a lily leaf, surrounded by a beautiful forest. Arya's eyes opened wide, and she covered her mouth as she gasped to prevent noise from coming out. She became spellbound by it. Was that a picture of her? No, it couldn't be. Or could it? The ceiling above was covered with slowly fading glow-in-the-dark stars, aligned as they appeared in the summer sky. To her right was a table with many shelves below it, each filled with different items, and next to this table was a crib. From the floor, she could see it was loaded with stuffed animals. "Is this the future nursery of the girl who will be Neff's human connection?" Arya whispered. "Nope. This is the nursery of my human connection," Mr. Woody replied as he took her hand, and they floated up to and landed on the top of the side railing. She looked inside the crib and saw pink sheets and a comforter which had princess pictures on them. And in the crib was a girl who had kicked the comforter off of her in her sleep. The girl rested so comfortably on her tummy, her long, straight brown hair being held up with pigtails. Her face was relaxed, and her eyelids twitched as if she were dreaming. Her cheeks were smooth, and her nose seemed so tiny. Her arms were bent at the elbows, and her hands were cupped into gentle fists as they rested on the pillow space on either side of her head. Her lips were nuzzled on a white pacifier, which she nursed slowly and soothingly. The nightie she wore draped freely down her frame to reveal a diapered bottom and a pair of legs which disappeared into the scrunched-up comforter. "That girl isn't a baby," Arya remarked.
"I know that, Arya,"
Mr. Woody said quietly, smiling at the dreaming girl in the crib.
"She's a baby girl, not a baby."
"What's the difference?" Arya asked, adoring the sweetness of the girl as she shifted her position and whimpered softly behind her pacifier.
"Humans have dreams and wishes of their heart. That girl has the purest heart of innocence in all of mankind, and within her heart is the fantasy to be a baby girl." "So she is," Mr. Woody answered. "She has a love interest in a fella guy named Zeke, who cares for her and loves her as a baby girl, as well as a mate
in life. So, it's like dress up and make believe for her? Arya asked, trying to understand.
No, it's for real in her mind, and in her life, Mr. Woody replied.
And in the innocence of her heart.
What's her name?
Arya asked. Lily, Mr. Woody said with affection in his tone.
And how did you discover she was connected to you?
Arya asked.
Because, in one of her dreams, she crawled out this window and into the countryside, diving into the lake and swimming all around, Mr. Woody recalled. She first appeared to me dancing with butterflies to the tunes of the song birds which flew down to join her at that moment.
Butterflies and birds followed her? Arya asked.
Oh, yes. Even they knew she had the purest soul alive. She sprinted across the field to the summit of the hill and stopped when she saw the lake in the countryside. She ran down to the waters and jumped in, and, well, she is the only human who has ever found the pearl oyster from the lake, Mr. Woody said.
This girl is the one who found the pearl oyster? Arya asked in amazement. Doesn't that mean that she is a true believer of dreams or something like that?
Yes, it does. And that she is, Mr. Woody replied. Schools of fish swam with her, twirling around her and delighting in her sharing of a joy only she could bring to the world.
Wow. I don't even know what to say, Arya admitted.
Neither did I when I first met her, Mr. Woody also admitted. But it was the moon and the stars who directed her to me. And I have visited her many times and helped her through many trials she faced.
So you learned human emotions because of her?
Arya asked. Oh, yes. She taught me as much as I taught her. She even gave me my name, Mr. Woody replied. She has a heart of pure love and innocence.
At that moment, the nursery door cracked open, and Mr. Woody quickly grabbed Arya's hand, floating them down to a hiding place behind the nightlight cover.
You daresn't move or make a sound, but watch the bond these two have, Mr. Woody whispered to her quickly.
In walked a man with a bottle in his hand, which he set on the bay windowsill. His movements were measured but deliberate. He walked over to the side of the crib, lowering it quietly and slowly. He sat next to Lily, taking a few moments to absorb what the sight of her did to his heart. He gently rubbed her back, and she calmly rustled her way out of sleep, turning over onto her back and opening her eyes, producing a bright smile behind her pacifier when she saw him. She leaned over, and they embraced as he whispered something in her ear softly. She lied flat again and parted her legs as he placed his hand on her diaper. Getting up, he retrieved a diaper and a few other things from the shelves beneath the table next to the crib. Arya, who had been mesmerized by what she was watching, smiled sweetly when she realized that Lily had wet her diaper and that he had come in to check on her and see if she needed to be changed.
Aww,
Arya said audibly, forgetting she needed to be silent. The man turned his head toward the nightlight cover, and Mr. Woody quickly covered Arya's mouth. They both watched him and remained motionless, not even breathing, until he returned his attention to Lily. He unfastened Lily's diaper, curling and lifting her legs up off the mattress as he slid her wet diaper away and took a wipe to her bottom. He placed her new diaper flat to the bed underneath her and powdered her bottom before lowering her into the soft inner lining of the diaper. His motions were so exacting and showed he had done this many times before. She remained still for him and only moved how he needed her to, when he needed her to, as if she had been diapered by him like this many times before. It seemed so effortless and familiar on both of their parts, yet somehow still filled with a deep sentiment of love which joined their hearts together. He parted her legs, powdering her front and drawing the diaper up and into position, fastening the tapes at her hips. She smiled behind her pacifier again, curling up into a ball of joy, which clearly showed how happy she was. He touched his nose to hers, and they wiggled them, like Eskimos do. Then he lifted her up into his arms. She wrapped her arms around his neck and hugged him, already knowing what was to come as he carried her over to the rocking chair next to the bay window, sat down, placed her across his lap, and cradled her as she rested against his chest. He reached over to the bottle he had set on the bay windowsill and removed her pacifier with his pinky before he touched the nipple of the bottle to her lips, which she took in her mouth willingly. Oh, it's a bottle feeding, Arya thought to herself, but remembered not to say out loud. And then the man spoke so sweetly, with the most endearing words he could say to such an innocent and precious soul as the one Lily had within her. Arya's eyes welled up with tears at the beautiful sight of the two of them. They were a picture of unconditional love, silhouetted with the moonlight beaming in through the bay window behind them. She finished the bottle, and he sat her up, laying her on his shoulder and patting her back until she burped. Arya snorted with laughter, not for anything being funny, but, well, for a moment when Lily couldn't help but surrender her modesty. Arya and Mr. Woody froze again as the man stopped rocking the chair and looked at the nightlight cover again. Lily relaxed into his arms, and he eventually returned to rocking the chair and holding her until she fell asleep. Then he stood up, carried her back over to the crib, and placed her in it on her tummy, covered her with the comforter, kissed her on the forehead, brought the side railing back up into place, and exited the room quietly. When the coast was clear, Mr. Woody and Arya floated back up to the top of the side railing. That is human emotion. And that is what you must feel in your heart to help the human you have been connected with. When your human is feeling happy, so you will feel happy too, Mr. Woody said as they gazed down at Lily, who was already dreaming again. Now, let's get out of here before we get caught, shall we? And in no time, they were out of the nursery and whisking back above the treetops of the countryside, landing on the limb where Neff was waiting. Arya's face was filled with an endearment she had never known. Do you understand the importance of emotion now, Arya? Neff asked. Yes, I understand completely, she said, hugging Neff for the sake of being able to do something with the overload of emotions that she had inside her. Good. Then I'll be saying good night to you, Mr. Woody said.
Thank you, Mr. Woody, Arya said, hugging him next. Thank you for taking me there and showing me that. And I'm sorry I almost got us caught twice.
Tis okay. And you're welcome, Arya, Mr. Woody said, hugging her back before climbing down the tree and heading off.
Okay. Arya started, turning to Neff, and being so filled with questions, she didn't know where to begin. So I met Lily, and her human connection is somehow related to her, right?
Yes, Neff answered. Lily has
a sister named Taylor, who is pregnant, and due to give birth very soon. So I will be the dream elf of Lily's niece. If Lily's niece is anything like her, oh, you're going to be busy, yes, but so incredibly lucky to get to help her through life, Arya began. I don't even know if I'm making any sense. I'm still emotional from what I saw. Well, emotions can be intense, can't they? Neff asked. Just imagine how Lily must have felt. I can't even imagine how wonderful Lily must be made to feel by that man. What's his name? Zeke, right? Arya asked with such animation. I would give anything to feel that loved by someone. I mean, the safety, the security, the comfort. Oh, it must be amazing. Would you like to find out? Neff asked her bluntly.
Huh? How?
Arya asked, perplexed. Never mind. Just follow me. Neff responded as they climbed down out of the tree. They walked back into the noisy celebration of the elves at the festivals.
Arya, take my hand and don't let go, okay?
Neff yelled, trying to be heard over the noise around them. He extended his hand to her, and she looked at it for a moment, grinning playfully, and then, well, she finally decided to take it in her hand. When she did, Neff took off running, and he led her through the dancing elves, across the grass fields, and down to the lake's edge. They both were out of breath, and Arya sat down for a moment, watching Neff reaching out to one of the plants floating on the surface of the water. He grabbed some of the greenery around the plants and yanked it free.
What are you doing, Neff? Arya asked.
You'll see. Come on. Neff answered, grabbing her hand and taking off, running into the woods. She did her best to keep up, but his strides were longer than hers, and he eventually picked her up and sprinted to the middle of the woods to the center clearing where the trees stopped and the moonlight shone brilliantly. He collapsed to the ground in exhaustion, and she lied next to him as they caught their breath while looking up to the heavens above. And as their breath returned, Neff sat up, sliding her into position on the softest patch of grass in the clearing. He knelt next to her and ran his fingers down her face delicately. Her attention was suddenly drawn to his eyes. He leaned in and whispered in her ear. To understand human emotion, an elf must first understand why the emotion is important and how that emotion makes a human feel inside, Neff said softly. He traced her eyebrows with his fingertips and then held up a sweet berry with its stem still attached. He smiled and placed it between her lips. She slowly drew the sweet juice from its center. Parting her legs, he slid her green elfling dress up above her waist, lifted her legs, and placed underneath her the lily pad leaf he yanked out of the lake. He lowered her down onto it and then wrapped it around her like a diaper, tying the tips of it together just under her navel. Without a word of explanation between them, her mind went little instantly. She relived it in her thoughts. All of the things that she saw Zeke do to Lily earlier. And as Neff lifted her up onto his lap, she began to identify with why a longing to be cared for was so captivating. His tenderness, his kindness, the look of absolute love in his eyes, all began to touch the emotions within her that Lily must have felt all the time. His caring heart was evident in his actions, his words, his intentions, his being. He cradled her in his arms and began rocking her back and forth, whispering those sweet words into her ear that she heard Zeke say to Lily when he bottle-fed her. Soon, she found herself incapable of even dealing with the thought of living a life without someone to guide her through her emotions and insecurities. Her eyes welled up with tears of happiness and told the tale of what was going on inside her heart. Her emotions, deep and fulfilling, nurturing and caressing, encompassing of her soul and enchanting of her senses, filled her completely. She didn't know how to handle any of it, but she knew she didn't have to, so long as, well, he was there to make her world as perfect as it needed to be for her to thrive with a happiness she had never known. What did Mr. Woody say Lily was? Arya thought to herself. A baby girl. Is that what this was? Was that the feeling she suddenly had inside? And that is why emotion is so important, Neff said, seeing the process she was going through. Arya finally chomped down on the center of the berry and took the stem out of her mouth.
Neff, please show me more, she whispered to him as she handed him the stem. Please?
He took the stem from her and closed his hand around it. This is only the beginning, Arya, he said sweetly as he kissed her on the forehead.
The end.